to Around Comics. Welcome back to another episode of Around Comics, episode 369. I know Kung Fu. What's up? I am Brian Salazar, and with me as always is the Dodge Meister, Christopher.
Doge.
Dogecoin.
The Doge.
Doge coin.
Yeah. I got my second vaccination chills going on, and my Dogecoin is bouncing around like a damn ping pong ball, and it's I have no idea what's going on. It's but apparently we're talking about like comics and stuff. So
comics. Is 420 today? Is 420
today? Is 420?
Yeah, I just, you know, got to. I don't. What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm all right. It's been a interesting week, a rough week, good week, bad week. Folks that I'm not going to get into it, but folks that are that listen to the show, that are friends to me on Facebook, we lost Parker last week, and I know he's kind of been background noise for the show for a long time, and popped up on stuff. Yeah, so we lost my best friend Parker. So that's been tough.
But yeah, never easy thing. We've talked about it, but yeah. Well,
not named after Peter Parker, named after the Donald Westlake character.
Well, there you go. Yeah, But did you name him after reading the Donald Westlake books or the comic book adaptations by the great
The Darwin Cook. Yeah. Well, all right.
Is he named after Darwin Cook's Parker?
Because
technically, Parker.
Yeah. Yeah, that was all coming out. Yeah, that was coming out. And that's when I started. So to digress here, why I love the Donald Westlake Parker characters. One of my all-time favorite movies is Payback.
Mel Gibson,
the director's cut of Payback is one of my absolute favorite movies, and also a really interesting movie to bring up in how to not market a movie, because they just absolutely destroyed that the box office for that movie by how it was mismarketed. They were trying, because it tested well, it in their you know focus groups, they ended up marketing it as a comedy because of like the three funny lines in the movie, and you have no idea that it is a hard boiled, you know, kind of rough and tumble bad guy noirish. Yeah. I absolutely, and they fired the director and then recut it. It was like it was Zack Snyder's Justice League before Zack Snyder's Justice League.
I had seen it. I liked the theatrical version. I've seen the recut version.
Version is fucking superior.
I don't know. Maybe
it is. I don't know. That actually makes sense.
I don't know. What do you mean that actually made sense?
They have a completely different ending. Chris Christopherson isn't even in the director's cut.
Well, that's a shame then. I mean, that's bad. Why would you not want Christopherson?
Yeah, it was shoehorned in there. This would be an ACTV debate that we would have and would be fantastic.
Really enjoying the theatrical version, mm-hmm. and then watching the director's cut and not being sort of unimpressed with the director's cut. Not to say that it isn't superior necessarily.
Yeah. In my opinion.
I have to watch them both again to argue that. Yeah. But I just remember being like, eh, what? I didn't feel like it made the film that much better. I liked it though to begin with. So I never had any sort of, you know, reason for it to become better.
Yeah. The theatrical release, it's still good. I still would like it. The director's release is one of my all time favorite movies. So it's that much of a difference. I like them both, but one is for me.
Now, what about the original?
Who was the Lee Marvin?
Lee Marvin, yeah.
Yeah. It's very 70s and all of the not what I like about the 70s ways. And I love 70s film. And this is the one where Suntress and I would
definitely
absolutely go at it. I'm not a huge fan of the 70s one. In comparison, once again, not a bad movie, but it's not
called Parker. It's called is it Point Blank?
Point Blank. Yes.
Yes, yeah. Right.
And it was it Carter or
technically a 60s film, 1967. I'm looking it up.
Okay, 67. Yeah. Okay, that it's that late 60s.
Was that Stallone? He made Get Carter, which was the same character, Parker, and basically the same story, but a pretty terrible remake. And then wasn't there also a British version with
Michael Caine?
No. Yes, of course.
Because he was in everything in the 60s and 70s?
No, the bald dude from like Fast and the Furious.
Oh, Ving Rhames?
Not that bald dude. The other bald dude. So
that's the bald guy from Fast and Furious. I know. I haven't seen that one.
Is Ving Rhames even in that movie? I don't even think he's in that movie.
Wait, in which movie?
Fast and the Furious.
Oh, Vin Diesel. Sorry.
That's the other bald guy.
That's the British bald guy.
Yeah. He was in The Untouchables. He was in Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
The Ving Rhames thing. I was talking to David Price today, and he asked me what was in the box or what was in the case in Falcon and Winter Soldier.
You made that joke on our show. If he was a patron,
how would they know that I made that joke already this week?
I don't know.
If they were patrons of the show, they would have heard
that joke live. Well,
yes. And how would they hear that joke?
By going to patreon.com/aroundcomics and signing up for as little as $5 a month.
Come on, Sal. We've been doing this long enough. You should know when I give you the perfect transition.
Lord, I'm too tired and old.
This is true. Old age and treachery. So check out the patron stuff, and you get Sal and me talking about TV every week on ACTV.
The next ACTV should be we watch
both versions of
and then we watch Payback and we argue which is the superior film.
Yeah, but do you watch the theatrical or the director cut or both?
Christ, do I got to watch them both and then compare that? And
no, I think watch the just director's cut. I think Point Blank and Payback would be awesome.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Do you ever wish you could sit in on a conversation with some of your favorite authors and listen to them talk about their writing process, their path to publication, and of course, their newest novels? Hi, I'm Marissa Meyer, bestselling author of The Lunar Chronicles, and I would love for you to check out the Happy Writer podcast, where every week I talk with other writers about books, craft, inspiration, and how to bring a little more joy into our lives. The Happy Writer is available wherever you get your podcasts or find us on Instagram at Happy Writer Podcast.
Let's see this. So this goes back to my idea and we're sort of just vamping here, waiting for Tom, but this goes back to my idea for another segment of our podcast where basically you and I do a show where we take the whatever topic of the week. Mm-hmm. And it could be something serious, it could be something silly, it could be something whatever. try and make it maybe comic book related, but not necessarily, maybe just pop culture related, that kind of thing. And you have a for and against side, and we have to argue. Each of us has to argue one of those sides, but we don't know which side until we flip a coin. And then, you know, whatever it is, heads gets this side, tails gets the other side. And then we have to argue the side.
This is just you feeding into your passion for arguing with me.
It's not just you. It's
everything.
I argue with everyone. I always.
So if there's, I tell you what, if there are any anyone who wants to throw out while you're on the live feed, just give us a topic real quick and maybe we'll debate.
We can argue it right now.
Yeah, right now while we're waiting for Tom. Because aren't we all just waiting for Tom when it's all said and done?
That should be a segment of the show, just the beginning of the show, waiting for Tom, and then we finally start around comics. We'll have a different theme song.
It is. He's the wait for Tom is about three quarters of a cup of tea right now.
So. Waiting for Tom. We're just waiting for Tom. Waiting for our life. Just waiting for Tom.
Something you like love doing bumpers and theme songs for things.
Well, I have a there's a weird like wanted to be radio guy in me.
And yeah. There's this chained up jingle creator.
Probably, yeah.
What do you want to do? I just want to make jingles.
I do. I do. I don't know. I guess I do kind of. I think it's funny. I think I'm fascinated by jingles, though. Like,
do they even really have them anymore?
I mean, no. And that's. I mean, they kind of do, but it's. I mean, there are. There are some still. There was one my son would always sing whenever it would come on. I can't remember it, but
that best jingle ever, if you grew up in Southern Illinois, and for the like two or three people that listening to the show that live in Southern Illinois will know that 549-5326 Quattro's Deep Pan Pizza.
See, that's beautiful. That's
I haven't lived there in 25 years. I could still fucking call Quattro's and order a pizza right now without looking it up.
580-2300 Empire. That was always fun. Hey, there he is. We're not waiting for Tom because Tom's now here. We decided we're going to start a segment of the show called Waiting for Tom. When you know, every show we kind of wait around and before you get here. So we decided we're going to have a segment every week, and I got to come up with a jingle. Or maybe our listeners, since one of our listeners wrote the end song that we now use on the show.
That's true. Wait, and then we started talking about our favorite jingles. So Tom, you're an advertising guy. What's your favorite jingle?
Wow.
Didn't expect that tonight, did you?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared.
It's around that. Advertising.
I'm trying to God, no. I
don't three like down on their luck marketing people.
Oh, doing man.
The right thing.
What's my favorite?
Fighting crime through marketing.
Through
jingles,
testing, through focus group testing,
focus group
trying to lie as least amount as you can.
Focus group testing, man, I don't know. I mean, the Empire one, hey! is like obviously the you know,
the Chicagoland
favorite.
I can't even think of another jingle, to be honest, other than that, like, only jingle in my brain, I think, anymore.
I mean, I just always think of the guy sort of at the end of a Menards commercial, just going like, Menards! That's like,
not a jingle.
But I would say like almost a
sonic. Money at Menards. Yeah. I mean, that's a jingle.
That's a jingle. Right?
Yeah.
But I remember more of the guy, Menards, like more of a sonic logo.
Did you guys was his name Larry Roche? Was it Larry or no? The Lion, like he had the car commercials in Chicagoland. It was something the Lion.
Roar!
Yeah. Oh, Bob Roorman.
Bob
Roorman.
I think he finally died.
Yeah, he did.
I legitimately bumped into him at a Cubs game.
Bob Roorman. He had
it was weird.
I was with someone
who was from out of town, and I was like, "Oh shit, that was Bob Roorman." And they're like,
"Who the fuck is Bob?"
I was like, "Oh yeah.
Did he introduce himself like, "Hi, I'm Bob Roorman."
No, he was like, "Get out of my way, dude. I need to get to my luxury box," which there are none of in Wrigley Field, by the way, because it's a shithole.
But wow. I don't think that was necessary.
Oh, have you been to one of the boxes in Wrigley? They're fucking terrible.
Hey, you know, I don't know. I'm not arguing that. I just don't know.
They're awful.
Their luxury boxes are luxurious enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a 60-year-old luxury box.
Listen, not every team has, you know, the fucking beer moguls of the country running them and spending all that big dollars on luxury boxes when they build a new stadium. Come on, you know.
Oh, all the beer companies sold their baseball teams long ago. I think it was Toronto, maybe in the last one.
Well, you know, the poor Cub fans, they just have to deal with that, you know, that place as it is. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
Hi, how's everyone doing?
Now that Chris has brought the show down, geez.
Yeah, with his negative energy.
It's a holiday, man. It's 420.
Yeah.
It is 420.
Woo!
Official Snoop Dogg holiday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Sal.
Yeah,
we're gonna do kind of a new thing on the show tonight, right?
Because we have never
done anything like this before. This is groundbreaking stuff here at Around Comics.
Groundbreaking, and I do not have a jingle for this. I don't have a stinger.
Oh no,
at least not yet. Once again,
this is the test run.
Well, it's like, how come other podcasts have all these listeners that write jingles and contribute to the show in some way? And you know, we've been doing this shit for 15 years. We get one dude wrote a song 10 years ago.
We've had a lot of people do a lot of things for this show. So
maybe you have, Chris.
Slow your roll there, Sal.
Nobody's been writing jingles. That's all I know. That's I haven't had one jingle thrown our way. So I'm
for a subject that was never ever discussed ever before.
Well, I'm not saying for this, but I'm just saying in general, you know, I'm challenging our audience to write a jingle for Around Comics.
Come up with a bit and a jingle to accompany it.
Yeah, we'll do it. What the hell? Why not? Listen, we named three new bits this episode alone. Pick one and write a jingle for it.
That's where we are, Tom. We've devolved into Mob Rule here.
Yeah. Do it yourself.
It's true democracy.
But anyway, I digress. Yeah, so we were going to. I thought it would be funny for us to do reaction videos. It's all the hot thing on YouTube.
Ooh, that's gonna be me, like.
Yeah. What is this? I thought it would be funny. But Marvel did release a trailer for the new movie Shang-Chi. Sorry, I was trying to pronounce it properly. That's probably not going to happen because I grew up thinking it pronounced Shang-Chi. And at this point in my life, I'm probably not going to change for a movie. But I think it's pronounced a different way if you are properly trying to pronounce it, which I am not. But the movie trailer came out and there was a lot of reaction to it. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. So I thought we would watch the trailer and sort of then discuss maybe the trailer and what we think, and also maybe the character of Shang-Chi. I think that's how it's said. I'm butchering it in two languages. That's now.
All the hate mail goes to you, bud.
Thanks. Listen, our lazy listeners would have to get upset enough to write something in. They don't even, you know, come on.
Yeah.
Passive entertainment.
Who's like the executive producer of all the Marvel stuff? Kevin, what?
Fierge? I don't know.
So here's the thing. That name is my new Mjolnir because it's just a word that I see. I'm just like, I recognize it.
Mjolnir? Is that what you're trying to say?
Mjolnir. Yeah, Mjolnir. Mjolnir. What Mjolnir. Mjolnir. Yeah. The, you know, the word that was always in Thor comics that you just saw and you never fucking sounded that out. It was just an Mjolnir. Image that you recognized as being the word. Yeah, his last name is that new version for me. I just never try and sound it out. Never. Yeah. Feige.
Well, it's either Feige, Fergie, or Fjergie.
Because he is from Norway.
Fjergie. It's
Fjergie.
Kevin
took me 20 years.
Kevin Feige.
To say Sienkiewicz.
It's Sienkiewicz.
Feige.
Feige.
Yeah, it's just Feige. Feige. I looked it up.
Feige. Feige.
Feige.
I don't need to know
Feige.
That.
I was Feige. Feige.
Feige.
Feige.
It's Kevin Feige.
Here he comes on his boat.
It's Kevin Feige. Hey, how are you doing, Kevin Feige? How's those Marvel movies you're making? I just turned into the Swedish chef.
Yeah.
How
Disney some Disney synergy.
Yeah. Kevin Feige.
I demand that your next D&D character have that accent. That would be
so Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings is directed by Dustin Daniel Cretton. Why do I have to pronounce everyone's name?
Cretan. Because this is your bit.
It is written by Dave Callahan and Steve Englehart. At least two characters. Jim Starlin and Andrew Lanham. I think Starlin and Englehart just made the characters. They didn't actually contribute to the script, but they created Shang-Chi originally. Something 1960s, 1970s.
When was Enter the Dragon?
71, I believe, for theatrical release. Yeah, why do I know that?
Probably gonna be like within a year of that, is my guess.
Oh, are you suggesting that they were trying to capitalize on the popularity of Bruce Lee?
No, I'm saying exactly that is what they were doing.
Comics never chase a trend.
I am saying that is exactly what they were doing.
The character was conceived in late 1972. And technically, actually, they were trying to get the rights to adapt the television program Kung Fu, which was created by Bruce Lee, if you believe Bruce Lee himself. And but it was owned by Warner Communications, so they weren't going to sell the rights to Kung Fu to Marvel. So they actually...
Did Warner own DC back in the 70s? That feels like that was...
Well, it's Wikipedia. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd heard someone else talk about that.
On February 10th, 1972, the assets of the Kinney National Company reincorporated as Warner Communications due to a financial scandal involving price fixing in its parking... operations. I remember that big parking lot scandal. No, Warner Communications served as the parent company for Warner Brothers, the Warner Music Group, Warner Cable, and Dimension Pictures during the 1970s and 80s. It also owned DC Comics and Mad Magazine.
Okay, well, there you go.
So it seems like maybe the timing was correct, but I don't honestly know. It's the internet. Nothing is real. So they went out anyway. So Marvel couldn't get the rights for whatever reason from Warner Communications, whether it had anything to do with Marvel or not. We're not sure. That's murky, but they wanted something. So they went and got the rights to the next best thing, Fu Manchu, which was kind of weird.
A distant second.
To the Kung Fu, the incredibly popular Kung Fu series.
You want the rights to what?
Yeah. So yeah. They created Shang-Chi as Fu Manchu's son, actually, originally. He was supposed to be Fu Manchu's son, who then finds out that his father is actually a bad guy who wants to rule the world. and he turns on them. And yeah, that sort of has been played down to this point. Shang-Chi no longer really, I don't think he answers to Shang-Chi Fu Manchu. Or is it Manchu or is it Fu? It would be Fu. Shang-Chi Fu, right? No?
I don't know.
I'm just guessing.
That's the sequel.
But yeah, so that's kind of how he came about. And then
and he kicked a lot of people's asses.
He did. He knew all sorts of kung fu and different martial arts and
great costume.
He did they do admit that he was, you know, Paul Gillespie later on, as he kind of, I think he was the artist on the series. The visual appearance was modeled after Bruce Lee. So you were right in that sense, sir. But I don't know.
Well, yeah. No Bruce Lee, no Shang-Chi.
Hey, I don't know. He didn't look like David Carradine.
No, he did not look like David Carradine.
So yeah, so that's kind of I don't know how deep do you want me to get into the history of Shang-Chi here? I just
does he has no superpowers, right?
He might have like chi, you know, that's kind of a superpower, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, but he doesn't have like an iron fist.
He does not have an iron fist. But he traveled to that, what was the land, the iron fist,
Kunlun.
Kunlun?
Kunlun?
Mjolnir.
Wow, we should not have done this episode. We can't pronounce a single fucking thing about these characters.
I mean, you know, to be fair, it's a little confusing. They can kind of be pronounced in many ways.
Yeah. The one that's in your heart is the correct one.
Yeah. It was. Go ahead. I was thinking of something else.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, he's been in a bunch of groups. He's been in a bunch of series. Most recently, the new Agents of Atlas. He was brought back, but there's a new series obviously coming out, and there's a movie coming out as well from Marvel. So there we have it. There's your little Shang-Chi kind of primer. And then you guys want to go ahead and watch let's check this shit out.
Whoa, it's dark. I can't.
We want our actual reactions, right? So not that I don't think anyone's gonna have that much. I hope we don't get kicked off of YouTube for this, because I'm not really sure.
I hope we do.
Tom's had enough of this episode. Enough of this. All right, let's go ahead.
It's like these three guys who can't pronounce names.
All right, here we go. Ready? Why isn't it playing on the screen?
This is a bold decision of theirs to go with still image.
All right, hold on.
I hear something. I didn't
test this beforehand. I don't know why it's not working.
I'm going to say I don't like it.
Nice set design.
Let's try this again. Let's see. Share. I don't know why that didn't work. It's very odd. Nothing seems to be. Do-do-do. Allow. I mean, I might just have to
do a new set.
I see a different image. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
All right, I'm gonna back it up here.
Like there's a bedroom.
Here we go.
All right, there. Oh,
lightning.
We got lightning. We got
a guy
for a wood thing that's been punched a lot. It perfectly fits his fist.
Yeah, that's me every morning. Push-ups, expensive cars. What?
A lot of hip hop.
Where did that get you? You walked in my shadow. I trained you.
No shirt. All right.
People in the world.
Okay. All right.
Down. Is that the dude from Creed?
He was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, we got a helicopter, guys.
Yeah. Also in Crazy Rich Asians.
The helicopter?
Yeah. Oh, there's lots of helicopters.
That's not going to happen.
There's some Matrix water, slow motion water. Oh, we got some Crouching Tiger, Hidden.
Yeah.
Wire Foo.
Oh.
Razor sword.
Is that Razor Fist?
Oh, and the horses.
Nice.
It is Razor Fist.
Who are you?
Oh. Awkwafina,
and playing the role of Chris Rock is Awkwafina.
We make a good team.
Nice.
There we go. Fun. Interesting. Lots of
games. Yeah. Like,
we'll all still watch it because it looks great.
Yeah.
I'll get around to it. Is it in theaters? Or
I believe yes.
Only in theaters. September 3rd. I noticed that they were very prominent with the only in theaters on September because Black Widow is a dual release. Yes.
I don't know.
It's streaming and.
It's going to be interesting to see how audiences react to that. Like, now that we've seen, hey, I can watch King Kong
at home
and I'm fine with that. I don't need to go to a theater. Are people going to just flood back into theaters in September after, and also, I mean, obviously add COVID to that and the fact that it's like, I don't really want to be around anyone anymore. It's kind of gross.
Going to catch it, like, is really the movie, yeah. Like going to see a movie, like the thing you're willing to risk it all for. Yeah.
I think eventually people will go back to theaters. It may not be the era of like movie plexes again, but I think that format,
the talkies,
is going to stay there.
I don't think we're going to go to movies. Well, but the thing that will kill it is financially, if it's too expensive, although that may not kill it, it may just kill the megaplex theater.
Yeah.
You know, and we might be forced to go back to like, there's only two screens in this theater. There's only five screens in a theater as opposed to 25.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing.
There just may be fewer mass released movies at a single time, not enough to fill 12 or 14, you know.
But am I going to continue paying for, Disney Plus, I think Disney has enough content and original stuff that they're going to make where people will still pay for Disney Plus. But like HBO Max, if I'm not getting Warner Brother movies, I don't know that I'm paying for that. I don't know if
if you're rewatching The OC.
Well, that's on there. It's next on the list.
I bought some of the special movie theater salt to put on popcorn.
Yep. I did that too.
I have no reason to go to a theater anymore. Yep. I can make legit movie theater popcorn in my house.
And you can buy
it in here.
You can overpay for soda.
Yeah, I'm charging my kids like insane prices. It's great.
Dad, I don't want to pay for.
They don't know. Yeah, they'll pay $8 for milk duds. They don't care.
All right, so back to the movie trailer. Before we get too far away.
Ten rings.
Ving rings. Wait, what?
Ten rings. It's like a Lord of the Rings times ten.
There was one ring.
There was one ring in that movie.
But there's only one Awkwafina.
There is only Awkwafina, rapper, comedian, actress, Awkwafina.
Who doesn't like Awkwafina? She's delightful.
I'm sure there's some people on the internet.
She's delightful.
Please don't ask that question on YouTube.
Trust me. I'm sure there's plenty of dudes on YouTube.
I don't like her name. I think it's a dumb name. I don't understand why she named
her. Here we go.
I think it's like an unfortunate. It's probably like, it's one of those things where it's like,
it was a silly
give yourself joke. A name, a stupid joke.
Yeah.
Name,
yeah
when
yeah.
like nobody knows who you are. And now you're like, oh shit. Now I got this, like, I got this name now. like probably not anticipating.
Yeah. This is probably going to be on my tombstone name kind of thing.
I'm surprised she hasn't transitioned away from it or been like, hey, listen, my name's
that
actually
my rapper. That was my silly rapper name. DJ rapper. Now yeah, I'm a serious actress. I'd like you to call me. Yeah. Whatever.
This is my name. Yeah.
No, she's held strong. I'm Awkwafina. It's like, all right, well,
all right. I guess you're going to roll with it.
It's a brand now. It's a brand. Yeah. So
it already was a brand of water. You can't rebrand a brand.
Right. I guess that's my name now. I'm going to just roll with it. So kudos to her.
Yeah.
So. She apparently, comedic relief, comedy relief.
Playing the role of Chris Rock is Awkwafina.
Chris Rock is, I love Chris Rock, but he's such a bad actor. He's just not a good actor, and I wish actually he's gotten better though.
She is a phenomenal actor. She's really good. Like she's been actually in a variety of roles that are not pure comedy. So yeah, she's actually a good actor.
I'll be the judge of that after this. I'll see how she drives a bus, if she's convincing, if she sells me.
So you got the Sandra Bullock. Can you drive
a bus? Yeah.
Did she take Keanu Reeves classes?
Can you do that? Yeah. Can your charisma drive a bus? Let's see it.
It will be interesting, though, to have like a Marvel. I mean, so will this be the first Marvel movie that a character doesn't have superpowers? Because Black Widow's not out yet, or is it going to come out before this? I mean, as far as like the lead character, has there been a lead character that didn't have superpowers?
Well, Black Widow.
In Marvel movies? Who?
Black Widow is the other one that I can think of.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. I mean,
Tony Stark, yeah, but...
It looked a little bit like, oh yeah, I guess Tony Stark, but I mean,
I mean, Hawkeye, but like, they might as well have superpowers. I mean, like the delineation is very thin between.
Yeah.
But the headline, a movie.
It looked a little bit like Mortal Kombat, I mean, I think that sort of just comes with the territory. It's a kung fu movie. It's a, you know, it's
heavy, get over here.
Obviously Asian influenced film. I thought it looked pretty cool though. I mean, I don't know the guy who's playing Shang-Chi. I know a lot of people were very excited that he was cast as that character, but I'm not familiar with anything. I mean, I just don't know what he's done. So, have you guys seen anything from him at all? No.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
Was he was the guy in Crazy? I need to double check.
Oh boy! Well, he did get Ving Rhames and Vin Diesel mixed up.
Also, Chris, when you mentioned Chris Rock, did you mean Chris Tucker? Yes.
Oh my god, that's three in this episode alone.
Yeah.
Wow.
I finally pieced it together. I was like, wait, is he talking
I didn't understand Chris Rock either. I'm like,
why? I must not be thinking of the correct name. You're thinking of Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker.
Yeah, I'm trying to top. I'm trying to top my RZA moment from version 1.0.
I want to say thank you for taking the heat off of me. I mean, I mispronounced a few Asian names
You're blatantly being racist.
Unintentionally? Yeah. So the guy playing Shang-Chi is also Kim's Convenience, which Marta and I watch. So that's all where right. I do. That's where I recognize him from the most.
He was not in Crazy Rich Asians.
Was he not in Crazy Rich Asians?
I don't know. I'm assuming he was not.
Wait, let me look at it. Oh, God. Jesus Christ. All right, here we go.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm looking it up. Keep going.
Yeah, no, probably not. He's really funny in Kim's Convenience.
Terrific. That's good.
I got bad news. I got bad news for you, Chris. He's God. Not a Crazy Rich Asians.
The internet never forgets, does it?
No.
I think in the 15 or so years that we've done this show, this might be my favorite moment ever.
I hate you. So I think this is a terrible bit and we should never do it again.
Oh no. From now on we are doing nothing but watching racially charged trailers and discussing them in depth.
No, he's not in Crazy Rich Asians. No,
Kim's Convenience.
He is in Kim's Convenience.
Okay.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Because if he wasn't in that, I'd be like, guys, we just gotta.
Guys, a binge watch TV.
Rapid early age start over. not post this one.
Oh shit. Sorry, man.
Yeah, that was bad. I apologize.
All right, moving on.
Moving on.
All right, we have some questions. Maybe we should answer some questions.
Oh, geez, I bet we have some fucking questions.
Oh, God. I got to clear the tears out of my eyes so I can actually read these questions.
And yes, I met Chris Tucker.
Yeah, all the questions are like, are you talking about Chris Tucker?
All right, so Ninja Master 1337 said he was in high school in 08 listening to us.
Wow. Thank you. Whoa. We're not old.
He's very excited around Comics is back. And then he asked, do you guys ever remember getting a crazy voicemail back in the day when you guys would let people call and leave messages?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we would
get occasionally some weird
unintelligible. Yeah.
I got called a right cunt by a British guy on a message once.
Was it like a
smack bird?
Was it like a term of endearment or like a?
No, I don't. Well, it was hard to tell. It didn't sound like it. It sounded like he maybe had been drinking.
Yeah.
My guess was what I thought, because like 2 weeks before, this was when I was doing the big show, and like 2 weeks before, I had shit on Thor, Love and Thunder. What was the Thor?
The second one.
Yeah. Right. Ragnarok. I had kind of said, I didn't really, the second one. No, the third one.
That's okay. Yeah. The good one.
Yeah. I have. Since then, I have come around to really enjoy it, but anyway, I had shit on the movie. Kind of, I really didn't like it initially when I watched it, and so I assumed it was the director, Taiki Waititi, whatever the hell his name is, calling me a right cunt. That's because he could have been British or he could have been
from New Zealand.
New Zealand. Wherever he's from, New Zealand. That's what I assumed it was him, but probably not, but maybe could be. Anyway, we've gotten some weird messages. Did you leave us a weird message, Ninja Master 1337?
I remember whenever we used to have a number you could call.
I do remember that. Hey. Yeah. We could do that again. I mean, I don't really. Yeah. Tom doesn't. No. Not really.
I'm sorry. People.
After this episode, I don't want the message.
Wayne Musso. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Wayne.
What do you guys think about the Death of the New Gods movie? I feel bad for Tom King. You know, he was writing that and co-writing it. But honestly, I think DC needs to concentrate on less complicated characters than the New Gods. They really need a win. I think Suicide Squad will be a win.
They do. They need a win.
Yeah. I think Suicide Squad will probably do that because James Gunn, you know, directed it.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was not a crowning achievement. So it's, I mean, he doesn't have quite the magic touch all what? The time.
You didn't like
the Galaxy? I didn't like Guardians 2.
Oh, all right.
No. It's all right. I mean, I think it honestly isn't any worse than the first one. It's just like more of the first one where it's sort of like, what's this bad guy? Like, what's happening? You know, like, it never really advance too much of the stuff in it, like, in a way, like...
No.
Like, it's kind of boring a little bit. It gets kind of, like... It's
kind of boring.
He has an ability to sort of, like... The characters are very likable, and he sort of creates a fun atmosphere from that. His story... Yeah, maybe the stories aren't... I don't know. I really enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one.
Yes,
actually, it's fantastic.
Before, like, you know, more recent Marvel movies, that was probably my favorite Marvel movie.
I liked it.
I really,
and I like the second one, but I can see why. Like, I haven't gone back to rewatch it.
Right.
You know, like, so I'm kind of like, it's a, like, I do think there's a certain advantage to, like, doing the Suicide Squad because you get to kill a bunch of characters. And you can just pick whatever, like, weird ass polka dot man's in there, and like, right, like, you get the full, you can kill whatever D-list villain you want, you know, which I think is actually kind of, you know, the missed opportunity of the first time. The first Suicide Squad film was like, really, like, you could make a movie where you're just offing weird bad guys left and right, and like, that you don't have to kind of, you don't have to make it like a team, you know, like, you can,
you don't have to have a bunch of people that, or a bunch of actors that you're going to want to connect with as an audience, and so then not kill them off. Like, you're not going to kill off Will Smith. You know what I mean? You're not going to kill off Harley Quinn. You're not going to, you know, you're not going to kill off most of those characters. But yeah, Polka Dot Man, who gives a shit about
Polka Dot? You have fun with Polka Dot
Man. There's always one person who
loves Polka Dot Man,
who is connected to
and you can always bring back Polka Dot Man in a sequel, which would be funny. But you know, it's like,
didn't Fraction say that after after he killed Stilt Man on his like Daredevil run? He said, "I never knew there were so many Stilt Man fans out there."
Well, I think that was before the time we realized, and I think Twitter helped us realize, that people just want to complain about everything.
What?
I don't know that it was necessarily there were that many Stilt Man fans out there.
They kill Stilt Man. It was just
comic book fans like to bitch and complain about things. So.
I remember that one Daredevil cover of that one character, and you killed him.
I enjoyed the childhood. The Suicide Squad trailer was pretty good. Where I was kind of like, oh, I could see this kind of working as like a weird, just collection of weird characters that you can kind of like throw together.
Yeah,
like, you don't have to kind of obey any sort of rules of like, this is what a team is, and this, like, they. You know, like, I guess anything where you can have a giant mutant shark.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have to be like the team gets together in the end and they all, like, you know, I enjoy Guardians of the Galaxy, right? But it's like this ragtag group actually comes to love each other.
Misfit.
In the end. Yeah, you don't have to obey those sort of like tropes. You can kind of like make they're all bad guys. They can all be assholes. Right.
But that takes a certain amount of balls as a film studio and as a director to do that, I think. And I don't
think we get to see King Shark in a live action movie, and that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, terrific. I'm looking forward to it for sure. I mean, I like James Gunn. I think it looks hilarious and crazy wacky. What I was gonna say before though is I think you kind of nailed. Like, I've always kind of liked the Suicide Squad comic, but there's always been a reason. Like, there's been something about it. It's like, I can kind of take it or leave it. And I think that is it, where, like, it's always then comes to the point where, oh, well, they're a team. Oh, they're like redeeming bad guys. Yeah. There's, you know, Waller is, you know, going to make them do this. And it's sort of that weird. I like the idea of just like, yeah, just make it bad guys being kind of bad guys and not, you know, make it so redeemable. Yeah. Don't worry so much about if they're redeemable. People will find things to like about them. People love Rorschach. There's nothing, you know what I mean?
We'll find something to like about these bad guys.
Yeah. Back to the top of the show before Tom was here. That's what I love about the Parker character from Westlake and then Darwin Cook is that he was not a likable character. He was kind of a shit heel.
He was the least offensive of that. And that's all that's all you need. You don't have to make him likable. You just have to have other people that are less likable. Yeah. And those are the bad guys.
Yeah. He's the less likable dirtbag.
Yeah. I mean, I still go back to the like 80s Suicide Squad trade that I have, the Ostrander of like relaunch of it. Because I think that really is like sort of the blueprint of like, no, these guys are like bad guys.
Right.
Like some of them are worse than others. And some are like, you know, Captain Boomerang sort of unredeemable. And like, he's a bad guy and he's going to do everything he can to like circumvent the rules, you know, like, whereas you have other characters who are like, oh, I am going to do this and get out early. Or you have, you know, there's always that tension in that book when it's working of like, what kind of bad guy is this bad guy? You know, like
they have their own agendas. They don't necessarily all. Yeah. I think that makes it more interesting too.
You could like sprinkle in like 3 issues in this character dies and now Mirror Master is in it for 6 issues. You know, like you could always kind of like switch around who's in it and like,
And like, why is that cover? That's the cover with like Deadshot, like coming at you, right? Like his.
Yeah.
Coming out of the explosion, sort of that cover just sticks with me, like from you know that all those years ago. It's just like, yeah, that's still in my head. It's a great, great cover.
Yeah, it's a great series. It's really fun, you know. Like I often talk about, you know, the Bwahaha Justice League being kind of like I'm, and like honestly, if it came out now, it would be ahead of its time.
Right,
like you know, like it would be like, oh, what is this? You're like, it's so far ahead of the curve on what everything's doing. I don't think comics actually did catch up to it at any point. Wow. Suicide Squad, the 80s relaunch of it, sort of like that too, where it's kind of like, oh, what is this? Like, I don't know if comics ever really caught up to what they did in that. And like,
I think they've tried to copy it several times.
Oh yes, many copies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
go back and read that. I gotta.
When I think about those, I always think about those comics as like, you know,
like Gale's Secret Six, which I loved. Was it was a Suicide Squad ish
book. But even that though, that book did fall into the trap. What separated it from Suicide Squad is you learn to like those characters, and they became a team and like a family. Whereas like, Ostrander always sort of did a good job of like, some of these characters like each other. Some of these characters don't give a fuck and aren't going to play by anybody's rule. Mm-hmm. Like, and the always sort of a mix.
Well, it goes back, like,
it's like Survivor. Yeah. Alliances were made.
You know? Yeah. Ben brings up a good point. He said the Suicide Squad should be like the Dirty Dozen. And, mm-hmm. and that's the Dirty Dozen or Magnificent Seven or Seven Samurai. It's the same story of these. You know, you've seen it over and over and over again of these, you know, like you said, ragtag group of misfits that, you know, maybe don't like each other. I think
I think I see my trade from right here. Let me see if I can grab it.
I think Magnificent Seven is sort of the, you know, where all of that came from.
Yeah, which was Seven Samurai, right?
What's that? I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. Seven Samurai is where that all started. Yeah, Magnificent Seven is a direct take of
Seven Samurai. It's a Western.
But yeah, all those kind of like 70s, the 70s movies, a lot of those were.
There you go.
You got the trade here. It's been a long. I have the issue somewhere too, but. Yeah, this is. I'm going to keep this up as I'm going to read this.
Yeah, I want to read it now. I haven't read that in forever, and I gotta get a copy of that and read it.
Yeah. Luke McDonald art. I always liked the art in it too. It had like a different. It had like a real. Like style to it that felt different too, like artistically of like more grounded, like almost in sort of the spy world roots of Suicide Squad in a way, but with the superhero characters, you know, like
doing superhero espionage.
Yeah, it was. Oh yeah, well, I opened up a page. There's Clock King. There you go. That's like.
Oh God. Yep. There you go.
Yeah, it feels very much like agents that are, you know, what do they call it when you know, left out in the cold kind of thing, you know, where those guys are not discommunicated. God damn it, what's the word? I can't think of the word. Chris, you're an espionage guy.
Right, how I can think of is burn notice, and that's not.
Yeah, but what do they call that? What's the official, like, I was going to say discommunicated, but it's not. It's
excommunicated.
Maybe that's
You are if you're in the John Wick world. Cover,
this is one of my favorite Suicide Squad covers. Yeah, this isn't the first one, but it's an awesome.
That's an awesome.
Really great covers.
What they call it in John Wick? It's like you were, wasn't persona non grata. Was it excommunicated?
Might have been. Yeah, because it was like a Catholic Church sort of thing.
Yeah. Are they doing a fourth one of those?
And a fifth one.
I don't know why they wouldn't. I mean, they just keep making money.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, I believe the guy who's writing Shang-Chi was a co-writer on John Wick. No, something to do with John. Something to do with
Keanu. He co-wrote Crazy Rich Asians.
And he's not, I don't believe he's Asian. The director.
And I'm a horrible person and I apologize.
Disavowed.
I got it all.
Wayne came up with it. Disavowed.
Ah.
That was like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Wasn't that what they called it in that? Disavowed. I think everybody's got a different term for it. I bet you Brubaker has. Or I mean, Greg Rucka has a different term. I bet he has a different, like, what did he call it in Queen and Country? It's probably something different than disavowed.
No. But sacked.
Well, no, it's the agents that are like, you know, they're basically, you know, they're dead or, you know, pronounced dead or they're just, you know, disavowed is like, now you're on your own. We're after you're a rogue agent or whatever. That kind of thing. But everybody in every kind of espionage book or movie or whatever, there's always those agents. Mm-hmm. My point being, it felt like that's what Suicide Squad felt like, was like they were a bunch of disavowed agents who now.
What was the Brubaker Phillips series? They're one of their first. They're actually
Sleeper?
Their first. Oh, no. Yeah. It was because he was. He had kind of gone through the same thing where he was a deep cover agent and then cut off from the agency while he was in deep cover.
Right. Cause his handler was in a coma.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's an awesome series. Sleepers. Phenomenal series.
One of my all time favorites.
Yeah.
It's that, man, you want to talk about an awesome TV show?
Sleeper.
Oh,
it would be.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. There you go.
Why you hear that, Hollywood?
Speaking of Brubaker, Tom, you had brought up something before about how Brubaker.
Oh yeah, that article about the Winter Soldier that was on Comic Beat.
Yeah,
about the seeing Winter Soldier on screen and being sort of like, ugh, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel good. It was sort of a, ooh. It was an interesting article because it was like, you know, like sometimes I feel like when comics, when, you know, fans talk about stuff like, you know, Kirby made all this stuff and, you know, like, did he get what he was supposed to get? It often devolves into sort of like, what is the legal right you have to this? And it becomes like all legality as opposed to like the emotional aspect of just like, moral. I don't feel good about this. I don't feel good about this, you know? Because it's like nowhere in the article is he like, they stole it from me. Or like,
no,
it was, but the, it's but more the point, like, it could have made me, they could, it's very easy to make people who make these things happy. It's not outlandish to do it, you know, well, like
the headline of the, and you know, of the article was that he had made more money for his cameo in the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I guess he had, or not in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, in Captain America, than he did for creating the character of Winter Soldier. It's just like that, you know, or, I think my comment at the time was like, they keep finding new ways to fuck the creators.
Well, also within the article was the story of Jim Starlin got more money for KG Beast being in Superman versus Batman for like 15 seconds than for Thanos in all the Marvel movies, you know, just like the idea of like, oh my God, which extends beyond. It's not just like the legal, right? Which is like a whole other thing about what's
those
it's
movies like, made billions
exactly of the point I think that's interesting in the billions. Article or at least the way they talked about that was interesting. It was like, you can make me happy, there's a universe
I don't need a half people, $1 billion
yeah
to, you know it's like it,
yeah but there's you're, a amount of money you could give me that makes me feel good about this happening as opposed to being like, oh, this is like this feels bad, which I that was an interesting way because I do feel like the argument devolves into like, you don't have the legal right to this or that, or it's like, there's that, but then there's just like, hey, Marvel, if you want people to make characters for you, you should maybe try and make those people happy when their characters generate a ridiculous amount of money for you, because who's going to make characters for you? Like, why would any comic creator look at that story and be like, oh, I'm excited to revamp this character, you know? Like, well, I wouldn't. Like,
yeah, I mean, we've heard that. We've heard still, that for years.
They still do it. Creators still do it. They're so, you know, it's a catch 22, I think, because they're so excited to work finally for a company that they've dreamed about working for years and years and years. They finally get to work on characters that they've maybe dreamed about working on, that it's hard for them not to put everything into it. You know what I mean? But I think we've talked about this multiple times about how I think you see more and more creators not creating, you know, new properties for Marvel and DC and just doing their own thing through Image or Kickstarter or whatever and being like, fuck it. Why should I give them these characters?
I'm not going to give them my best ideas. I mean, what, you know, what you look right now, it's like Robert Kirkman figured that out early. Invincible may not have been as hardcore as it is and as, you know, as bloody as it is, but he could have done Invincible at Marvel.
Oh, sure. Well, that could be there. Go back to Mike and Tim's Gravity, or Mike and Sean's Gravity.
Mike and Sean, yeah.
Mike Norton and Sean McKeever created Gravity, which was at one point a pretty popular character, and they did a lot, you know, of things with that character, and you know, they saw really, I mean, I don't know, I'm speaking out of turn, obviously. I know at the time when we talked to him years ago,
but it's not their character.
It isn't. I mean, that's part of it. You work, but that's the thing. Like when Starlin created Thanos, the idea that Thanos would then go on to, you know, star in two of the biggest blockbuster of all
the culmination of a decade of
just throw him some money, a small amount of money that's so tiny,
right?
Compared to what you've made, could make someone make it go away, and they'd be like, oh, this is cool, whatever.
Cool, great,
You know, and I know the at least like the DC's has always been better, I think, about that in the movies than Marvel has. And I think part of that was, I think, Paul Levitz
is why. Absolutely.
Took that stuff why. Really seriously about, like, if your character shows up in a movie, you're going to get something for it. Like, a small, like, 15-second thing. Like, you invent... Because I've seen various stories where it's like, oh, I invented this character and they were mentioned in the Batman movie. I got, like, a little bit of money. You know,
it's even beyond that. I think we had talked to Andy Parks years ago, and he said in one of the Batman movies, there was a scene where the Batmobile is, like, driving into the Batcave, and that depiction of the Batcave had been in a comic that he inked. And he said, yep, I got a, you know, small royalty check for that. And that was Paul Levitz that really pushed the creators having those types of royalties.
So I only brought up that story because I thought it was an interesting, a different look instead of like this legal argument about like what you can and can't do. And it was more like, you made a huge amount of money off of this. Make some people a little happier about being part of it. Like,
I think in this day and age, it is interesting because we see so much online, so much outrage over companies that do immoral things. And it can be silly sometimes what gets this gigantic response from people in regards to a corporation or someone that works for a corporation. And you see, you know, just tremendous amounts of outrage about it. But then you have Marvel, who for decades and you know, literally decades, have been screwing over creators and continue to do it now that they're owned by Disney and one of the largest companies in the world.
It's almost expected.
Yeah, it's but you don't hear that you're outraged. I mean, millions and millions of online people talking about those movies all the time, and nobody talks about the fact that these creators are getting screwed over and over again, and they're not getting the rights or
disrespected.
Yeah.
They assume that they're not, because in Hollywood, there are things like the Screen Actors Guild, you know, there are things like the, you know, writers unions. There are no unions in comics.
Yeah, I mean, part of the reason I bring up disrespect is there's another section in there where he talks about how he couldn't even get into the movie party through Marvel. He had to, the guy who plays the Winter Soldier had to get him in. Like, he had to text
Sebastian Stan
and be like, hey, can we get, like, and Sebastian Stan, the guy in the movie, had to be like, yeah, let's let these guys in, you know, like, yeah, like, the Marvel people didn't do that, you know, like, which is just awful. So, like, it's just disrespectful. Yeah. It's like,
the
thing is, it's not
after parties. Just that alone, you know what I mean? Just showing these guys, these poor, I mean, comic book creators are like beaten dogs.
Yeah,
you
know, just let them go to the party.
And the thing is, it's not like he's a one-hit wonder writer that came up with this one character. He's one of the biggest names in comics. Why would you kind of go out of your way to be a dick to him?
Well, there's reasons why guys like Brian K. Vaughan and I think Brubaker, you know, another perfect example, and Alan Moore, and you know, have kind of, and Mark Miller, I mean, to a certain respect, he doesn't work for any of the big two anymore. He works for his own comic book company. You know, he created his own empire. Walking away from these fucking companies because they just continue to do the same thing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless you. Yeah. Yes. But if you'd like to know more about this, you can tune in on our Patreon this week for ACTV, where Sal and I talk about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Oh, this is true. We do.
It is the series finale.
Finale.
The give a shout out to Brubaker.
Yeah.
The start of each one.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, we can talk about how shitty it is. We're still watching.
Yeah.
Ed Brubaker in a strange way. Yeah, well, that's true. That's the thing. It's always this funny thing where what is your line? It's really easy sometimes to bitch and complain about something you don't ever use or you don't watch or you don't really care about. But then when it's something that you, you know,
But I also sometimes I do feel like that's a little bit of a cop out. It's a little bit of a cop out to the people at Marvel who are people. Like there are people who decide things,
right?
Whether or not to give someone money or like go the extra mile to make sure a creator gets taken care of. And I think sometimes we think of these giant corporations as just these monolithic things, but they're actually hiding assholes.
Yeah.
Who use that as their way of wielding power and being a dick and treating people with disrespect because I work for Marvel, I work for Disney, you know? And I think you always have to be careful not to just like, yeah, it's like, should you boycott Winter Soldier? I don't know if you should boycott Winter Soldier, but there is an actual human that works for Marvel or Disney who could solve this, but simply by deciding to.
Right.
Without any input from me at all, whether or not I watch the Winter Soldier, is they could just be like, you know what would be the right thing to do? Is maybe throw a little money this guy's way or just treat him with some respect, right? And like, you know,
the fucking party, man.
It's not into the party. What a dick move to that. Like, when I read that, I was like, come on, guys, goddamn, dude.
Hey,
like, your job is you are nothing without the creators. Like, you are nothing. You have nothing. You have these things, but they're not anything until someone does something with it, whether it's like an actor or a writer or a special effects artist. Like, you have a thing that you own, but you need all these people to make it into something anyone wants to watch, right? Or read or listen, you know? And it's like, I think it's easy for these big companies to forget that Spider-Man doesn't magically make his own comics or make his own movies, right? Yeah. Like, actual people make these things and they put a lot of effort in their own energy into
it. It's just an IP.
It's just a magic. It's an IP, and I still think that comics at their core are looked at as being a lowbrow medium that is still not respected. And
I think that's changed.
I think it's changed, and it's changed a lot in the era of the big blockbuster superhero movie. But I still think at large, it's viewed as a lowbrow medium.
Far behind the curve Marvel is, where you see all these creators going to other places and they're making movies out of their stuff. I bet Kirkman doesn't get treated like that at fucking AMC.
Billions and billions.
Yeah. Like,
Mr. Kirkman, can I park your car for you, sir?
Yeah. But you know, like, act like a real entertainment company instead of, after this one, we're
watching Jupiter's Legacy, so we're moving on to a Mark Miller property.
Disney has a long line of taking advantage of artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walt did it in the beginning. You know, he was that guy that didn't make anything. He just told other talented people what to make and you know, took credit for it. Kind of like Stan Lee. I was watching another podcast today, and there were two people on it that are in the entertainment industry, and they were talking about like back when they used to have to pitch stuff to executives like this, and they would have to go in and pitch them these things, and they would give them notes, and it's like this bizarre thing of like, you never knew what to expect because it was simply them trying to justify their existence. They didn't have any creative ideas. They didn't have any real original thoughts, right? They didn't even care. It was simply it was like, I have to contribute something. So it's like, I don't think that watch is correct in this scene. I think we could change that watch. Like that kind of silly thing where it's like they're just literally trying to justify
this character would never eat a New York style slice of pizza.
Exactly.
It would never. This character would never play a pinball machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Against his ethos. It's not. What a ridiculous thing for you to have included in your story. It's wrong as the guardian of this IP. You know, like, yeah.
It is interesting, though, that I think you've seen more of the actors take like time, and whether it's their agents telling them to do it or they're doing it on their own, you know, it's like you see a lot of like actors with the writers of the creators of the comic of a character on set, you know, inviting sort of like hanging out with them and that kind of thing.
Well, they might be like, more in tune to actual making stuff.
Right.
You know, like the actual act of creation or like ideas of things. They're probably far more in tune with that than, you know,
and they can probably remember struggling.
Yeah. I hope that is the case. I don't know. The cynical side of me is like, well, that's good PR.
Oh, it makes you look nice. Yeah. Which isn't the worst reason to be nice either.
It is. That's true. Not the worst reason to be nice. Absolutely. Yeah. It makes me look nice. Yeah. I don't know how to do that. Nothing makes me look nice.
Yeah. Not the worst reason. But you're right. I mean, you see far more actors giving props to actual comic book creators, or at least like acknowledging the source material, or like the, yeah, it's interesting. As you look at these things, as you look at like a Disney Plus, which is this monolith of content, and like, you know, the Disney aura of like, you know, like Disney didn't invent the Muppets. They didn't invent Star Wars.
No.
They didn't like that. Those are wholesale creations of someone else's imagination. No,
they finished the shit out of Game of Thrones. And, you know, that lazy George R.R. dude wouldn't finish his books.
On HBO,
they took it upon themselves.
Yeah.
To make a new season.
Yeah. You know, as you look at what the, you know, it's just interesting, right? Like the sort of Disney approach. I mean, and my kids watch Disney Plus stuff all the time, you know, but I always tell my son, George Lucas came up with Star Wars.
Not Walt Disney.
Not Walt Disney. And the Muppets are Jim Henson.
That's right.
Yeah.
Everything else was created by Jack Kirby.
Everything else was Jack Kirby. Jack Kirby came up with a lot of the Muppets too.
Yes.
Sweetums.
So that was our reaction to Shang-Chi trailer.
We're still doing the reaction.
Yeah, that's the reaction to Shang-Chi.
We go from talking about a film to basically attacking the
Marvel.
Yeah. This isn't getting pulled off of YouTube for sure.
Listen, Marvel. Come on. You guys are making money hand over fist. You can show a little respect to the people that made.
Like you said, like what
it is.
How much money do you think would have made Brubaker happy?
Oh, like such a tiny, tiny fraction of what they probably make.
Let's just say a million.
Like a fraction of probably what they make off merchandising and like.
How about a fucking $1 million in Disney stock? There you go.
Yeah, I bet it would be less than that, which would make someone be like, yeah, okay, like, yeah. All right with that.
$350
Just something that's at least, and I'm not going to, whatever, he's probably like, give me $1 million, yeah, of course. But, you know, right? It's like part of it's just
$47 million.
Part of it's just an amount of money that feels like you respect what I've done, right? Whether that's like a certain, like no more delay. It's like not necessary. It's not a negotiation, right? Because
it feels like Marvel is located in Potterville a little bit.
Yes. Because it's not a negotiation. It's just like hey, we don't have to do this, but we want to show you some respect. You know, like here's like something to say, like, hey, we appreciate what you did. You've made us a lot of money. Like exactly.
I'm sorry. George Bailey does not work at Marvel.
Where it's just like, yeah, you can, you know.
That's no good, Bailey.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we've probably pissed off half of the people that tuned in tonight. Sorry.
Listen, if you get mad because your favorite studio makes movies, gets
billions of dollars.
There's people that work there. They don't. Marvel doesn't do it. Like, it's just people that make all these things.
It's just a company.
It's just a check that goes to different people.
So if you agree, you can send us your comments at info@aroundcomics.com. We mentioned some Patreon stuff. We have some new content coming up Soon I've got a couple interviews I'm putting together. We've got ACTV every week.
There'll be a new Tom Versus coming up.
Really? Awesome. Yeah. So new Tom Versus. Sal is going to be back on Future Stacks here.
I promise I missed a couple of weeks. I apologize, but I will get back to it. I just trying to get my house in order.
Yep. Your kitchen is almost rebuilt. So, So all that stuff available on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/roundcomics. This one, of course, is free every week and broadcast live on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time on the all the video feeds that I won't list, and then is released as our audio podcast afterwards. That's all I got. Oh, AC/D&D this week. We are
maybe. I'm not sure. We'll see. Not make any promises either.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't.
Perhaps. Perhaps. It's roll a d20. It's light an AC. Pencil. It's an AC 14 check whether we're going to do it or not.
Very light pencil work. You don't want to have to erase this hard. You don't want to have to erase your charisma score really hard. You know your hit point score. You keep that light pencil, light,
very gentle light. Touch.
Otherwise, you're going to tear the paper up.
Don't do that. Not paper. All right. So yeah, that's all I got. So I think the reaction was a success.
Well, it sparked a lot of comments. I mean, it sparked a lot of conversation. So I think
we went a lot of embarrassing moments towards the beginning. I think.
Yep.
There was some things that I think you're going to be ashamed about for a long time, Chris.
Yep.
There's definitely some
we're definitely going to be referencing different people being in Crazy Rich Asians that definitely were not in Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, it's my RZA moment.
Oh, your second.
And third. So anyway, we'll be back next Tuesday with our regularly scheduled YouTube show. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere. Checking IMDb listings so I don't do that again.
Are Asian, and so Chris confuses me.